today will be found in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. If you could find that, please. And if you're able, if you would please stand, I'd like to read these verses aloud in your hearing. We honor God as we stand in His presence, and then we're going to ask God to give us His blessing as we try to understand both what He says, what He means, and how it applies to our lives. Nehemiah 6, beginning at verse number 1. Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come and let us meet together at Hepharim in the plain of Ono." But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them, saying, "I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" Verse 4. And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, 'There is a king in Judah.' And now the king will hear of these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together." Verse 8. Then I sent to him, saying, No such things have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done. But now, O Lord, strengthen my hands." Verse 10. Now when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, a son of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night." But I said, "Should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in." And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose, verse 13, he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. And finally, verse 14, "Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid." Amen. Father, we need your help now as we consider your word. We plead with you to open the eyes of our understanding that we might see clearly what you are saying to us, and then grant us the grace to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. You might remember that Nehemiah is obeying the will of God here, right? Nehemiah is obeying God's will in an extremely difficult ministry. He's doing the work that God has called him to do in rebuilding the wall, right? Israel sinned. God allowed, Judah finally, the remnant left of the nation of Israel, would not obey God, and so he finally allowed the Babylonians to come in, and finally the city has been demolished. The wall torn down, the temple destroyed. And so Ezra has gone in earlier, and now Nehemiah has gone back to finish the work, to get the wall up so that the city can be secure. Okay? This is God's will. God wants it done. But he know it's an extremely difficult work. You might remember we saw in chapter 4 that God has already given Nehemiah victory, right? People ridiculed him. You know, they talked about the kind of work he was doing. It was insignificant. He was working with all kinds of rubble. He had nothing to work with. He had all kinds of problems, and people ridicule that, just like they do you when they think you got a little ministry going on. You got something that's insignificant in their eyes, right? But he worked through all that, and then even when they threatened to harm him, he did not stop doing the work. Then we saw in chapter 5, that in addition to all those problems, they didn't have much money. They didn't have much to work with. This was a fact. And so for you and I, we have to recognize that doesn't mean you're not being blessed of God when you don't have the money you want. That doesn't mean you're not doing God's will when you don't have the resources that you want. And you can't let the world dissuade you or the problems within your particular circumstance. You got to learn to work through it. Nehemiah allowed God to give him wisdom to work through the issue. And finally, you remember we saw that they'd gotten into some messy, messy debt. And for all of us, we learn that you may be there. If you are, Stop the things that are getting you in trouble and turn it around. If you're on your way, stop it and turn it around. If you're not there, don't go there. Okay? Either way, God has a plan. There's no temptation that has been given among men, except that which is common. God make a way what of escape, so that you are not tempted beyond what you're able to bear. But you got to do it God's way. Don't listen to the world system telling you how to handle debt. Don't look for the easy way out. Do it God's way. And Nehemiah did that, and God gave him victory. And then today, we're going to see two new plots as we look at chapter 6. Two new plots and schemes and strategies from the opponents. But we're also going to see God have two glorious ways of delivery. God is amazing. Sometimes you just have to wonder, the devil's got a problem. I mean, he does. As my seminary, he's insane. He's crazy. I mean, why would anybody come up against God unless you're crazy? But he is. I mean, that was his issue to begin with. He was so proud he wanted to rise up and be like God, as if he couldn't. If God created him, then he's going to be like want to be greater than the Maker, and he's still that crazy. And people that follow him are that insane likewise. But they're that committed to the cause. And that's what we see here in Nehemiah. Okay, there are people that committed to stopping the gospel ministry right here, right now, today. And they don't live in Muslim countries. And in areas where you got this blatant opposition. There are people just as blatantly opposed to gospel ministry right here in these United States as they are over there. They're just deceptive. They look the part of not being adversarial. Okay? So, let's see how this works its way out for us today. So, our subject today is actually Nehemiah's prayer. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. And we're going to have these two broad areas of thought and discussion. The first one in verses 1 through 9, I call that opposition by worldly deception. And then in verses 10 through 14, opposition by religious deception. So let's start by looking at this opposition by worldly deception. Now let's look at the offer, all right? Deception starts with an offer. It starts with something that appears to be appealing, right? Or is appealing. If it wasn't luring, it wouldn't be temptation. It has to be something that makes its appeal to something within us, right? And so we've got this, what I call this deceptive offer. And what I want you to observe in verse 1 is that opponents really know what's going on with gospel ministry. They got their means of getting information back to them. They got their inside link. Don't you think that they don't know that those who are opposed, they keep track of what God's people are doing? Yes, indeed. They are well informed. They're interested in it too, by the way. They're not interested in it for good. They're interested in knowing so they can know how to respond. And so they're well informed about the progress. Look at verse 1. You back in Nehemiah 6? Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach in it, although you see, he goes on to say, I hadn't put the doors up. they knew that the entire wall was done, and the only thing left was the front doors. Now this is a wall, so you know what I mean. But it's the gate. You know, you've seen those Asian pictures. You got the big gates that let you inside of a walled structure. And so they've been ridiculing them the whole time, saying you can't do this. But then they found out they did it anyway. Even though we talked about them, we've done everything we can. We threatened them. They did it anyway. And so they have heard that the progress has gone on. Now look at it again. And that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates. Verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come. Now look, this is their response when they found out that the work is almost done. Come and let us meet together at the Hecapherim in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. So I want you to observe that opponents will use these little clever tactics to distract you, right? They'll use these little clever tactics to lure you away from the ministry, from what God has called you to do. These little clever tactics to get you to compromise just for a little while. You don't have to stop long, you see. But let's just get away for a while, and then if talk can't get it, they'll plan something to physically take you out of the effectiveness. And so don't you think that it's beyond people that really don't want you to succeed in gospel? It's not beyond them to plan something that will physically harm you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, positively. Amen. And that's not just happening in BC days. That's happening right now in the 21st century. And so that was their response when they heard that the progress was going on. Another thing I want you to observe is that opponents don't give up easily. They'll try again and again, and so oftentimes they'll try the same thing over and over and over again. You're wondering, what is wrong with them? Nothing's wrong. I mean, as the Bible says, sin is insane. It's not rational. You don't go and try to figure out. You don't try to analyze sin. Sin is crazy. So you don't spend your time trying to analyze it. But you need to be discerning about it. Okay, amen. That's what I'm talking to you about today. And so opponents will do the same things over and over, but they'll also come up with new strategies. Okay, so don't think you got them figured out. God didn't want you to sit around and study the devil and his tactics. Amen. Keep your eyes on what? You remember Hebrews 12? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what we're running our race, fixing our eyes on him. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, right? You can't keep looking at what others around you are doing because they'll distract you. You'll lose your rhythm, right? If you're running, you gotta stay focused. Right? So look at verse 4. You got Nehemiah 6? And they sent to me four times, you see that, in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. Now look at the tactics. You see what's going on? Now he's beginning to say things that he knows not true. You see how he's doing that? You and the Jews intend to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah, and now the king will hear. Now he's talking about the king of Babylon, the king of Assyria now, Persia rather. He's going to hear that you got a little clever plan going on over there, and y'all are going to actually become rebels. And when the king hears about it, you see what he says? The king is going to hear about it, and now the king will hear these reports. So now, Nehemiah, you've got yourself in some trouble. You need to come and talk to us. You see how he worked that thing out? They tried four or five times with the same old strategy, and then they said, let's try something a little different. Let's throw a little twist in here, you see? Because he's not falling for the old deal. And so here's what you and I have to understand. Opponents think that if they keep testing you and tempting you, you'll eventually, they'll wear you down. You see? That's the reason you have to daily. You got to daily get ready. You need to be ready for each day. Lord, Jesus said you got to learn to pray. Give us what? This day. What? Daily bread. Not just from a body. I need bread from a soul. I need it this day. Because I need to be ready for what I'm going to have to face this day. It may be the same thing. It may be something new. I don't know. But Lord, I know I need it now, right? And so they have repetition. They slander you. They'll say things about you that they know hurt you, that wounds you, that makes you angry, makes you want to defend yourself. That's what they're trying to do. Throw you off your game. You know, they don't want you to keep doing what God called you to do. They want you to start dealing with them. See? Or gossip. Start spreading lies about you. So now you got other folks calling you, checking. See, now you're trying to do God's business. Now you got other folks calling you about things that it's wasting your time. You see, that's how, and so that's the strategy of the devil. Get you off track. So you see how these things work? So we shouldn't be surprised. There's nothing, what, new under the sun. It didn't just start happening in the 21st century. It's been going on for generations, right? So then you can see, then that's the deceptive offer. But I want you to look at the wise response from this man of God, and see if you and I can't learn from it. Nehemiah knows that the ministry God has called him to is a good work. All right, it's a great work. Why? Anything God calls you to do is good. Anything God's called you to do is great, even though it was a messy, dirty, difficult work. Nehemiah says, this is great. Why? Because God wants me to do it. Doesn't matter how it looks to you. It doesn't even matter how it feels to me. It doesn't matter. You remember, we've looked at this. It doesn't matter I don't get much sleep. That, I don't make any money doing this. You see what he's saying? But it's still great. Why? Because this is what God wants me to do. That's what makes it great. I don't have any title, you know. It's not because, they call me Mr. or Mrs. This, or, you know, I have all of these things going on around me. It's because this is what God wants me to do. Let me show you what I mean. You got verse 3? Look at verse 3. And I sent messengers to them saying, now you see, this is wonderful. They've been trying their best to throw this brother off track. What did he say? I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you. Amen. That brother was wise. I hear what you're saying, but you ain't talking about nothing. You're lying. You're gossiping. I know it's not true. Why should I waste my time coming down there and talking to you about it? Amen. See what I'm saying? Not going to do it. I got important things to do. That's not rude. That's not, I don't know what you want to call it. It's factual. I got important work to do. Been nice talking with you. I don't need to sit here and listen to you tell me what's not true. I don't really care what folks are saying about me. Why are you wasting your time letting somebody tell you what folks are saying about you? Amen. See? Nehemiah says, I got important things to do. Because once they get you in that, once they get you headed down that road trying to fix it, how are you going to fix something that's a lie? That's what they want you to do. They want you to get headed down that road and stop doing what you should be doing. Right? It happens all the time. Doesn't it?
Amen.
Because Satan's ways are just, he's just that way. So, it's a great work. It may not seem important to other people, but whatever God has called you to do, you need to think of it as great. Otherwise, somebody's going to convince you it's not. They're going to try to convince you it's not worthwhile. You need to be fully convinced. That's the reason I say to everybody here, don't do things because I want you to do them. That ain't going to last. But if you know God has called you to do it, you can handle what comes. Because he's the one that ultimately is going to give you your reward. You're doing it for his glory, right? So be sure. And Nehemiah was sure. This was a good work. You notice, though, and he refuses to be distracted. He refuses to compromise. He's going to stay the course. But he makes it emphatically clear, I cannot come down. We don't need to discuss this any further. You don't need to call me back. You don't need to text me. You don't need to send me emails. You don't need to send me cards. You don't need to, you know, I don't need special invitations. I'm not coming. Sometimes you need to cut off communication with people.
Amen.
I'm not doing that. Right? So I can get back to doing what I should be doing.
Amen.
He made it clear. And you know, he just simply denies the false accusations, right? Look at verse 8. Then I sent to him saying, No such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your mind. Amen. That's the end of that. We don't need to talk about this for an hour. Isn't that good? We can learn from the Bible. You don't need to have an hour conversation about it. That's not true. As a matter of fact, if you know that they're the source, you can tell them. You made it up. That's what Nehemiah did. He said, I know you just made that up. I'm not, sometimes you have to let people know, you're not deceiving me. I know where you're coming from. Right? You remember, I believe in Psalm 26, it was David that prayed, vindicate me, O Lord. See, Nehemiah isn't concerned about vindicating himself. The truth is going to come to the light. Just wait. Wait on it. God will ensure that the truth will come to the light. You can't hurry it along by trying to put out these fires. You know, this one, this line, that line, that line. That's what they want you to do. You tracking it? He knows that deceptive opponents always have deceptive plans. Look at verse 9. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking that their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. They've got deceptive plans, but he also knows he needs help. He needs God's help. Because, brother, sister, I know some of y'all think you're really tough. I don't. I don't try to fake it. I always need God's help. And the sooner you learn that, the better you're going to be when you learn that you need to go to God. Whatever, even if it's something you just for sure you can handle this. Don't be that presumptuous. We all need God's help when it comes to these matters, particularly concerning the kingdom. Don't presume upon anything. Nehemiah says, Lord, I thank you that you've given me the wisdom to respond this way, but I need your help. Because if I continue to go on my own, I will get weak. You know? And you know how that is. Sometimes when you're dealing with people, you put up a good front. But you know what happens when it gets dark and when you get alone by yourself. You know what happens. Stress affects us different ways. You know what's happening in your stomach or with the migraines or wherever it works its way out in you. And so we have to be real with God. We all need God's help when it comes to standing for him. Amen. Nehemiah didn't pretend. You and I need to not either. The sooner you get it, the better it will be. The more the work will continue on. You won't be the one having a nervous breakdown. You won't be the one that's having to take off a few months because you got to go get medical treatment and this thing because you couldn't hold up under the stress. Not what God wants. He says what? Be anxious, what? For nothing. But look, what did he say? But in what? Everything, how? By prayer. Stop faking it. Prayer and supplication, let your requests be known. Lord, I need help. And he promises to give it, doesn't he? If anyone lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. Don't keep struggling with it. Trying to figure it out. You know, I've known this person for, all these years, and you sit down and you're trying to figure, why are you trying to figure them out? Just ask God for wisdom. Right? Prayer. And so that's what we see when it comes down to this deception, this opposition from the world. You got a deceptive offer, and you and I, as God's people, have to learn to give a right response. Okay? Now, that in alone is bad. But you think that it's only folks in the world that's trying to stop gospel work? No. Absolutely not. Right? We got folks, unfortunately, it's sad to say, but you got folks who have attached themselves to the kingdom of God that's trying to stop God's work too. It's always been that way. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, you know what the Bible says? There was a mixed multitude that came out. There's always folks hanging around who like hanging around. When Jesus was passing out free meals, you remember that? When they had lots of folks that loved the free meals, but they didn't love him. Right? That's always the case. And so, unfortunately, we got opposition also by religious deception because they are those who've attached themselves who are not genuinely concerned about the best interests of the kingdom either. Amen. That's it. The sooner we accept that, the better we'll be in handling the problem, okay? And stop wringing your hands trying to figure out why. You don't need to figure out why. Just be discerning. That's what we're learning to do, be discerning. So I want you to see the pattern here. The first thing we see is the same pattern. There's a deceptive offer from those in the religious community. Because unfortunately, we have opponents. When I say we, those who love Christ, who are committed to doing the gospel ministry, you got folks who are in the church, and I put it in our vernacular, who are not for you. Not just for you, not for the work of Christ going forward. Okay? There are folks associated with religion and councils and all that thing who are not for the real work of the kingdom. Okay? That's just a fact. And we see it right here in verse 10. You got verse 10? Nehemiah 6:10? Now, when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Mahitabel, who was confined to his home, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night." And that's where he ended his interaction. So, this Shemaiah, we're not told a lot about him in scriptures, but the one thing for sure is that he's false, okay? He's either a false priest or a false prophet. He's false. He's a false leader in religion is what he is. He's a religious authority, and he's a phony. He cares nothing about the things of God. He cares nothing about Nehemiah doing the will of God. He has sold out, and he is determined to stop him just like the world was. And it's happening today just like it was then. Okay? How he got his position, we don't know. How some of these people in our society get their positions in religious structures, we don't know. We don't have to sit around and try to figure out how they got there. The issue is when you recognize they're against you, against the kingdom of God, against the work, you cannot continue to waste time. Okay? I'm getting ahead of myself. So these false leaders, Christ warned about them, right? Beware false prophets. Paul warns about them. Peter warns about them. And when you get this many warnings in the Bible, you and I need to take heed. They are everywhere. Amen. On the radio, on television, huge ministries. They said nothing about the kingdom of God and about the progress of the kingdom. They care about building their own kingdom, their own status, and bragging about how many, what kind of cars they drive and houses they live in and what kind of clothes they wear and how healthy they are and all this. When you look at Nehemiah, you don't see that. That brother was interested in doing the work of the kingdom. So they pretend to be interested in the welfare of believers. You notice what he said? You notice how he did with Nehemiah? "Hey, Nehemiah, they're going to kill you, man. I really care about you. You know what? You ought to come with me. Let's run over to the kingdom. Over to the temple. We can hang out. We can hang out over there. We can hide. Because they're coming after you. You see?" Knowing all the time he's lying. And supposedly representing God can lie to people's face and know that they're lying. This is serious. To stand up and say you're representing God and know you made it up. It's happening all the time. "God told me this. God showed me that." When it's, as Nehemiah said, it came from your own mind. You made it up. It's happening all the time. My brothers and my sisters, you got to be more discerning. It's not just coming from the world. It's coming from within the religious community. And they are halting the work just like the world is. Or trying to stop it. They pretend to care about his well-being. And then they make these deceptive offers. You see, it was a trap. Why don't you come over in the temple? What's the point? If I can get him over in the temple, what's going to happen to the work? It's going to stop. Wasn't that what the world wanted to do? They wanted to stop the work. That's all that he wants to do. Shemaiah, he just wants to stop the work because he's not for it. And I need to say something very emphatically and very clearly. Because this is what Jesus said. Now, the people like this in the religious community are actually instruments and children of the devil. You've got to see it clearly. There's no way that a person can stand up and say they're talking for God and know they're blatantly lying without being a child of the devil. With opposing Christ, opposing the things of Christ, Jesus had to say this to the religious leaders. These were the ones who knew, they had memorized much of the Bible. They knew, it wasn't that they didn't know the Bible, they just didn't love God. And so they were opposed to Christ. He looked at them in John 8 and said, you are doing the work of your father. You are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, a murderer, and you're doing the same thing. You're looking at me, Christ. No, he called him out. You are lying. This is serious. You have become a child. Well, I mean, that's what he didn't become. You are. You are a child of the devil. You have yielded yourself for whatever motives, try to protect your power, your money, whatever it is you're doing, which the Pharisees were doing. And they were trying to protect their religious establishment. I'm telling you, this is serious. You become an instrument and a child of the devil. And Christ says you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. This is awful. I never knew you. This is what you got right here. When you got religious people trying to stop the work of the kingdom. And here's the thing about the devil. The devil will do anything to stop God's work. He'll use any trick. Any lie. He'll use any temptation on you. He comes at you in ways that you never thought he would. And not only that, he'll use anybody that's not committed and submitted to Christ. Folks that you thought you knew. David said, my enemies are sitting at what? My own table. We've got to be discerning. Satan is determined to stop what God has planned. And he's coming at you. In all kinds of directions. You got to be able to discern it. Right? Notice the wise response from Nehemiah. In verses 11 through 14. Look at how God gives believers discernment and wisdom regarding their opponents. You look at verse 12. You got verse 12? Nehemiah 6, 12. Look at him. And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because of Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin. That's amazing. How did he know that? God had to show him. That's what I was telling the children. The only way this happens is that God has to show you. This isn't just some magic. God will help you if you'll ask him. And listen to me. We've been studying this. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You need to be there. You need to be where God can speak to you all the time. Keep communicating. Ask him. You don't have to be speaking words or be praying. You can be right in the middle of this thing. And Lord, I need help right now. Right? And he says, I understood it. I see through it. You're looking at me in my face and you're lying like a snake. You know, he said, I saw it. You're lying to my face. Now, how did he know Sanballat and the boys had sent him? God had to show him that. God is good and he's faithful if we'll trust him. He said, I saw it and I understood it. Let's see. There's a verse in Psalm 119. I think it's 98. Your commandments, O God, have made me wiser than my enemies. Isn't that wonderful? You need to know the Word of God. The Word of God will make you wise. Wiser than your enemies. Wiser than the wealthy and the smart and those who think they are above you. Make you wise. Isn't that good? Yes! That's what we need. Nehemiah discerned that this was ungodly counsel based on fear. Now, you need to get this. I know I've been long, but this is so important. See, here's what he can see. This is based on fear and rebellion. Why am I saying that? Because what did he counsel him to do? He counseled him not to trust God. They're going to kill you, so you need to go hide. See, that's fear. And on the basis of fear, Nehemiah, you need to stop working. Because that's the second part of rebellion. Rebellion then means that fear means I won't trust God. Rebellion means I won't obey Him. You're trying to get me not to trust Him, and then you're trying to get me not to obey Him. You see what he's saying? That can't be from God when God told me to do it. But you got to be able to look through it and not let your emotions get you all tangled up, you see, at the time. You see that? God also gives him wisdom to respond. Look at verse 11. But I said, should such a man as I run away, and what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. Opponents really want to give you a bad reputation. Yeah, they don't want people to speak well of you. Because if they can get that bad reputation, and well, you know how it is. I mean, you think about all the folks that you held in high esteem in Christianity. And then, unfortunately, most of what we've seen has been true. But when that reputation is ruined, that's your perspective of them. You don't trust them. You can't get past that. That's what they want for religious leaders. And that's what he says. You see at the end of verse 13, I should be afraid and act in this way, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. And then finally, believers know we need divine help when it comes to opponents. Just like I needed help to discern, I need help when it comes to dealing with people like this. Look at verse 14. That's really a prayer. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. Amen. That brother is a praying brother. He is a praying brother. He prayed, God, strengthen me, right? And now he's saying, Lord, Romans 12, did I write the verse down? Romans 12, 19, I believe it is. You got to leave room for the wrath of God. Don't take vengeance upon yourself, because the Bible says what? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Okay, so you have to be careful when you get in situations like this, not to start wanting to be vindictive. You know, people are going to hurt you. They're going to trick you. Now look, Nehemiah, he wanted to honor. He was respectful to the position that this person had in his religious world. But after he found out he was a phony, Nehemiah said, I can't go with that. I got to go back to work. But he didn't ask for vengeance on him. Okay? He leaves that to God. Right? You got to leave vengeance to God. Even though they costed you money. You wasted money to do this thing. You wasted time to do this thing. Whatever. It really costs you, but you cannot get in a vindictive mode in trying to get back. Leave it to God. Right? Learn your lesson and move on. Now, David repeatedly in a first-hand way experienced deceptive people as they continually sought to trap him. You know, if you've read the life of David, you saw. Seems like he was always being ensnared and somebody was trying to harm him. But he also experienced God's faithfulness and deliverance, right? And I wanted to just mention that, but if you'll allow me as we try to wrap up, let's just look at a few quick experiences. Can you turn to Psalm 31? Psalm 31, verses 1 through 4. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Amen. Flip over to 109, Psalm 109. Verses 109 and, excuse me, I'm sorry, 119. 119, 109 and 110, I believe. Yes. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. He's trusting God's word to lead him, to guide him, right? 140. Beginning at verse 4. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent men, who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot, or they will be exalted. David knew what trouble was like. And then finally, 141, verse 8 through the end of the psalm. But my eyes are toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me and from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. Amen. David learned to trust God. You and I have to do the same. The same is true for you and me. We face opposition daily if you are seriously engaged in the work of Christ. You face it daily. And if you're engaged in the will of God, you face it daily. If you're engaged in the work of God, you face opposition daily. We have the same enemies as Nehemiah. We have the same enemies as David. We have the same enemy as every saint. The enemy has not changed. The enemy may change clothing styles, or they may change mode of transportation or the way they communicate. All of those things have changed, but the enemy is still the same. He's always been the same. And his objective is to kill, to steal, and destroy, right? But Jesus Christ has given us what? Abundant life. He has come and he's given us immutable promises. Jesus Christ has given us limitless resources and access to God Almighty to supply all of our needs according to our riches and glory in Christ Jesus, right? And so, my brother, my sister, then this is the issue. We can face our challenges in faith. We can face our challenges with grace. We can face our challenges in confidence. We are not the first to face this kind of problem in ministry. We are not the first, and we certainly won't be the last. We are learning from believers who faced these problems 2,400 years ago. Did you know that? What we are studying happened 2,400 years ago, and you and I are learning from them. Amen. Why? There's nothing new under the sun. The enemy is just the same. Just the same. He looks different. He may act different, and these modes are changed, but he's still the same, and we can still learn. They trusted the same God as we do. They loved the same God as we do. They prayed and depended upon the same God as we do. He delivered them, right? We just saw that. He delivered them just as he will deliver us. God knows, my brother, my sister, God knows that you're weak, right? He knows that you have enemies. He knows that you have problems. He knows that you have failures. He knows that you have fears. God knows that you need him. And you and I need to pray just like Nehemiah. Oh God, strengthen my hands. Stop faking it. Stop pretending that everything is just fine. Be honest with God. Lord, strengthen my hands. I want to be faithful. I want to stop making excuses. I want to stop blaming people for me not getting work done. Lord, strengthen my hands. my hands. He will answer you, right? He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. He'll deliver you. He'll sustain you. God will guide you if you'll pray to Him and honestly believe Him. He'll give you wisdom, give you peace. He'll give you joy. He'll give you hope. He'll give you courage. He gives you food. He gives you clothes. He'll give you transportation. He'll give you a house. He'll even give you a place of worship. He'll give you what you need if you trust Him. He'll give you heat. He'll give you AC. He'll give you what you need. He says, I will supply all your needs according to the riches and glory in who? In Christ Jesus. In who? It's in Christ. Why can we trust Him? Because we're in Christ. Why are we safe? Why are we secure? Because we're in Christ. That's why we will succeed. He will complete the work that He began. Because we're in Christ. So you and I have to learn to be faithful. Just like Nehemiah. Even when you don't have all that you want. Nehemiah didn't allow that to distract him. We got opposition on every hand. But we're in Christ. And He will take care of you. And my friend, if you're not a Christian, you must pray and ask God to help you too. He will deliver you from your sins. He'll forgive you. He'll heal you. He'll set you free. Free to love, free to live, free to give, and free to forgive. He'll give you the certainty of heaven as your home. And He'll give you true blessings for the rest of your life on this earth. But you must believe. There's no shortcut. You cannot have these blessings if you won't believe. All that I've talked about today, discernment, you may want it, but you can't have it if you don't come to Christ. It's all in Him. What I've just said to these Christians here, my friend, that could apply to you, but you've got to be in Christ. He meets all your needs when you are in Him. So you must come to Him today. Our Father, thank You for Your great grace and Your mercies that so wonderful and good to us. Thank You for these few minutes that we had together in Your Word. And I pray that You would make Your will plain and clear to these Your people. Help us to be faithful and not be overcome by opposition in the work that You've called us to do. And I pray that someone would sense the real call of the gospel on their heart and their life this morning, and that You would save by Your great power. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's bow just a few minutes and really thank You for Your patience, but contemplate on what we've talked about and see if You got any responses.